This is Peter and Paul Snowden, trained horse. This is her winning back in March at Warwick Farm. This was a big win. After this, not a lot went right. She went to the Vinery, and then, of course, she was the horse involved in the Cathy O'Hara's fall off single gaze in the Oaks. So she's going to be nominated for the T Rowe Stakes on Saturday too, and could resume in the race. A horse to keep an eye on.
Well, we've had some great racing in Sydney. It's only going to get better. Golden Rose Day there was a real buzz out there yesterday, and when we walked around, when we walk onto Randwick on Saturday, we're going to see the mighty Winx again. And a great meeting overall.
Look forward to it.
All right. Thanks, Nick.
Thank you.
See you later. Thanks for joining us, folks. See you next Sunday.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend with Ray Thomas and Jimmy Smith. Cricketing great Mark Waugh.
I was batting against Sydney Uni. Actually, myself and Steve were batting, and we were pretty close to winning the game. You know, we couldn't lose, and the Cox play was about. And I backed superimposed. I was pretty keen to watch the race, it must have been. I mean, what the hell are we doing playing cricket on Fox Plate?
They'll never work it out, will they, Mark? They've got to get their priorities right.
Because I went for a rash shot, let's say that.
The Big Sports Breakfast Weekend. Sunday mornings at 6 on Sky Sports Radio.
Brought to you by Penrith Mazda.
Send Sky Sports Radio a message by email. Any person, any program, any matter. One email address will find us all. Go to skysportsradio.com.au, click feedback and follow the prompts. It's that easy.
There are gates open, they're off and racing.
On your racing and sports leader, Sky Sports Radio, it's time for Tab Tour.
One of the legends of the sport creates a little bit of magic at the mountains.
It's the first time he's finished above a GP in Phillip Island. Mark Marquez does it in style down under.
With the very latest in racing and sport from around the country, welcome to Tab Talk.
And good morning at 10:02. Kevin Wolfe here checking in for Tab Talk this morning with Trent Langscarf from tab.com.au. Good morning to you, Trent.
Good morning to you, Kevin.
And we might as well get straight into it with Jono Farr from the BSB. Well, I've got you both here. Great work, Hawthorne, Friday night. How are you doing, Jono?
Morning, Kev. Great start. Look, the mighty Golden Brown, they just didn't capitalise on any of the opportunities they had in the game. Geelong deserved to win the game. They were the better team over the four quarters. That's okay. We've got another opportunity against the Bulldogs this week and, possibly a date with GWS in a couple of weeks after that. So we'll be right.
All right. Trent, your thoughts there?
Thanks for bringing it up, Kevin. I was just getting over it. It was a really sombre occasion walking back from the MCG to the office here on Friday night. And that's a good thing for sleep, and was actually right behind, had probably one of the best vantage points of seeing Isaac Smith kick for goal, and it looked okay to start, and then it just unfortunately veered to the right. But as Jono mentioned there, Kevin, we live to fight another day Friday night against the Western Bulldogs, and if all went to plan, all of a sudden we'd be playing GWS in a preliminary final on a Saturday night week there at Spotless Stadium.
Yeah, and I think he thought he had a kick before he even kicked it. The look on his face suggested this was done and dusted. But look, we'll move on from that. Let's chat about Garlow's Pies. Now, Jimmy Smith hosted the BSB with TK Friday and was filthy because somebody stashed, part of working here Friday morning, you get all the Garlow's Pies, but he missed out. Jono, what can you say about stashing all the pies so nobody else got any?
Oh, look, there was a few outrageous lies told on air, but, you know, Pie Day Friday, that's what we call it on the Big Sports Breakfast. They all thanks to Garlow's Pies, but yeah, look, they're just outstanding pies. Big on pastry, big on meat. Friday, leading into the weekend, massive footy finals weekend coming up. You know, we were just all excited. They're just great pies. You just can't help it. You just got to get involved and have as many as you can.
Yeah, to stash them to take home to watch the footy, no doubt. Jimmy missed out. He wasn't happy.
Yeah. Well, he's got to be quick. You know, they don't last long, as you know. We meet a lot of people we've never seen before in the office on Friday, Friday. So, you know, it's an interesting time Fridays when there's pies in that oven. So,
well,
anyway, let's talk some footy, eh?
Okay, well, I reckon that you would have choked on your pies Friday night watching the performance of the refereeing in the Gold Coast Brisbane Broncos match. Phil Rothfield, I know he tweeted the worst finals refereeing performance he's seen in 40 years. Phil Gould tweeted that he was just so deflated after calling the match because it just wasn't a great look for the game. What did you make of it? The Gold Coast never looked like they had a chance, really.
No, they didn't. They started well. They had a try denied quite early in the game and then got another try through Chris McQueen, I think it was, out wide. But Yeah, look, a lot of ordinary decisions. There was a try, I think it was to James Roberts, the first of the Broncos, that, you know, I didn't really feel that it was a try. I just felt that he was just caught short of the line. It should have just been play on from there. I didn't believe that James should have been allowed to carry on. The defender was just doing his best to stop the effort. Some really ordinary decisions. There was a couple of chances there where the bunker sort of came into play, reverse decisions. That really cost the Titans. I think it affected their confidence. That's something that, you know, Neil Henry was going to have to work on them for next season, obviously, because they're eliminated now. But I think, you know, some of those poor decisions that Buzz and Gus were talking about really affected the confidence of the Titans playing group. The Broncos, they sort of showed a little bit of experience in that back second half and, came away with that win. But, the Broncos, they live to fight another day. It'll be an interesting game next week. I think they take on Canberra. After a terrific game of football in the nation's capital, a game that the Raiders really should have won.
I thought it was that the Broncos go to play the Cowboys, and you've got Canberra playing the winner of Bulldogs and Penrith.
I thought the winner of
Canberra, is it the way around,
Canterbury
is it?
Takes on the Cowboys, but I don't know. One of us is right, but that's all right. But let's talk about the Raiders game. That was a terrific game in the nation's capital. The Raiders, bang, bang, they went 12-0. 10 minutes in, you thought, hang on, cricket score here. It's all over. But the Sharks, they found a way to somehow come back. They lost Wade Graham about 10, 11 minutes into the game. Then, Paul Gallen wasn't travelling with the group. Sam Tagatisi was out of the team. So two big losses for the Sharks there. But just a gutsy performance in that second 40. They just found a way to win, taking opportunities when they had them. That's what you've got to do in finals football. Big lesson for the Raiders. They've got another opportunity next week. I think they're a little bit overwhelmed by the occasion, purely because the game was at home. I think maybe if the game was at a different venue, they might have played a little bit differently. They were sort of seduced by the home ground advantage rather than benefiting them. So, a good lesson for the Raiders. The Sharks, they probably need a week off. They go to week three. But they have been perennial bridesmaids in that third week. So this will be a big test for them to sort of jump over that hurdle and see if they can make it into the grand final. Their first appearance in the big dance since, I think, 1997 against the Broncos in the Super League era, or if you go further back than that, 1978, the replay against Manly.
Okay, I'm just looking on the NRL website here. Friday night, you've got the Cowboys playing the Broncos in Townsville, and then Saturday night at Canberra, you've got the Raiders playing the winner of the Panthers and the Bulldogs. So at least the Raiders get another home final out of it. That's something.
Well, there you go. And an All-Queensland final once again. That was week one of the finals last year. The Broncos picked up the victory on that particular occasion. So big chance for the defending premiers to try and hold on to that Proven Summons trophy. It's elimination football. It's up there in Queensland. Jeez, you'd love to be a publican north of the border. Talk about the Storm and the Cowboys game. Very interesting game. I thought there'd be a lot more points than this. 16-10, the final result of the Storm. But, it was a really defensive game in that first 40 minutes. The points early came from Cameron Smith, from the boot of Cameron Smith. Vunivalu took flight down that right wing. The big flying Fijian took past Jonathan Thurston and got the opening try. And then, of course, the Cowboys responded, just in those echoes of half time. So they went to the break 6-all. Very different second 40. Both teams were out to play. The Cowboys, I think, just some of their errors came through frustration. They just couldn't seem to play their style of game. The Storm snuffed them out and, they really showed their class. Players like Cameron Munster, playing in his first finals, what a performance from that young fella. Vunivalu just, treating it like it's a regular game. Cooper Cronk, Cameron Smith really showing their experience at that elite level. And I think that's what got the Storm home. And they go to week three in a preliminary final. And, they're going to be hard to stop the Storm, I think, in 2016, boys.
Well, with the scores again from the weekend so far, Brisbane 44 points to 28 over Gold Coast in that elimination final, and then the qualifying finals yesterday. Cronulla coming back from 12-0 down, and when it was 12-0 at that stage, fellas, Cronulla were $7 chances to win that qualifying final in the nation's capital, and the Sharks did eventually do that, winning 16 points to 14, and the Storm winning last night against the Cowboys 16 points to 10. So just with the premiership market, Jono, before we discuss today's game, Melbourne, they firmed as favourites from 350 to 250. Cronulla now with that week break, they're 750 in a $4.50. North Queensland, they eased from 4 to 550. Brisbane, despite winning and staying alive, they've actually gone from 7.50 to 9. You've got Canberra, big loss for them, 5 out to 10. Penrith at 15 and Canterbury 26. So just the 7 teams left in the NRL Premiership. It'll be 6 by 6 o'clock this evening. And we are already up on that Friday night semi-final in Townsville, where North Queensland are $1.47 and Brisbane $2.75. And Jono, it is going to be a big one, as you touched on. Met in the first week of the finals last year, and as it turned out, played probably one of the most fantastic grand finals seen for recent memory.
Oh, it was an unbelievable game of football. I was privileged to be there live. I remember seeing 1989 live. I was there in 97 when the Knights played Manly and beat them on the siren. An unbelievable game of football. I still get goosebumps every time I talk about it. That remarkable play with 20 seconds to go. The little magician, Jonathan Thurston, spreading the ball wide. Michael Morgan, he would have gone hoarse because he wanted a call for that. He got the ball. Beautiful work. A nice little fend and flick out wide to Kyle Felt. And, geez, you know, the chance for Jonathan Thurston to win it on the siren, it sort of hooked around. You thought it was going. You thought it was getting there. And it smacked off the post. Very similar to Benny Elias back in 1989 in that grand final. But then, of course, the hero, Jonathan Thurston, the mistake from Ben Hunt, the drama, the excitement. Oh, grand final day. You've got to love it. So these two teams, they're going to put on an absolute belter next weekend in week two of the finals. Wherever you are, cancel your plans. Make sure you're in front of a television. Or if you're lucky enough to be there, make sure your both eyes are on that game, because it is going to be a ripper. The Broncos, they want to come back from last year's loss. The Cowboys, they want to see if they're still good enough to go back-to-back.
I was at that match too, Jono. I've never been to a more polite grand final, because even the Broncos supporters were cheering for the Cowboys. Nobody booed anybody. It was a cheer-in, a cheer-a-thon.
It was a win for rugby league. You know, there was so much hype around Jonathan Thurston and the Cowboys that week. They hadn't been there for a long time. 10 years was the gap. Of course, they lost to the Tigers in 05, but just a remarkable game of football. You thought the Broncos had it. Their kicking game was criticised a lot in the week after the grand final. Benny Hunt trying to kick downfield, just slow down the play. But you could see the Cowboys coming. They had a couple of chances out wide. And, you know, I knew with 20 seconds to go, I was standing there next to my old man. And I just said to him, I said, you know what? They've still got a chance here. It was Thurston's alive. He was running around. He was trying to find a hole. He found Michael Morgan. Morgan happened to find Cole Felt. And just magic happened on the siren at ANZ. It was a terrific day for rugby league. The code, and you know, it'll be a hard grand final to top, that's for sure.
I tell you what, Kevin, you can tell Jono's pumped for Friday night. He'll have all the Garlow's pies there just watching that match between the Cowboys and the Broncos. It'll be great. But we have to obviously refer to this afternoon's elimination final at Allianz Stadium, starting just after 4 o'clock, where you've got Penrith, the $1.48 favourites, and Canterbury, $2.70. The line is 6.5. For the margin betting at the end of normal time, you've got the Panthers by 1 to 12 at $2.80 and 13 plus at $2.85. The Bulldogs by 1 to 12 at $3.75 and 13 or more at $7.50. The draw at the end of normal time at $21. Josh Mansour is the $8 favourite to score the first try. You've got Dallin Watene Zalesniak at 9, and then from Penrith, Waka Blake and Tyrone Peachy, and from Canterbury, Brett Morris and Curtis Rona, both at $10. And Jono, contrasting styles coming into this game, the Panthers with a 5-match winning streak and the Bulldogs limping in with 3 consecutive losses.
Yeah, this will be a great game of football this afternoon. It'll be at Allianz Stadium. There was a lot of controversy this week on the Big Sports Breakfast. We discussed, should the game be at Pepper Stadium? Should it be played at the big stadiums? There was arguments for both on that. I believe it should have been played out at Pepper Stadium, purely based on where the Panthers finished. Everybody else got a home final. I don't understand why they didn't. But anyway, that's another issue. The game will be played at Allianz Stadium, so not really an advantage for either side here. The Panthers, as you said, they're coming off a 5-game winning streak. They're playing exciting football. The young players in this team, you know, Matty Moylan, Wunga Blake, Dallin Watene Zalesniak, James Fisher-Harris, Nathan Cleary, Leilani Latu, Peter Wallace is still performing brilliantly, Isaiah Yeo. They've got so much talent right across this 1-17. Then you take a look at the Bulldogs. You know, they're lacking a little bit of structure in attack, I reckon. They just need a bit of discipline during some matches. They keep putting themselves in a predicament where they keep losing, and they've got to improve that. They've got to change that. They're coming off 3 losses, but it's a good. They've got a good 17, I believe, to challenge this young Panthers team. Keep in mind, they played each other in week 3 of the 2014 NRL final series. It was a win to the Bulldogs in that particular night, 18-12. That got the Dogs into the grand final. They're a very different Panthers side. They've learnt from that loss. They've learnt from a lot of things. The Panthers, they're coming off their big win over Manly last week, 36-6. They were never challenged. A really horrible, poor defensive effort from the Sea Eagles. It was a great warm-up in front of their home fans for the finals, but they need to build on this. They need to learn from wins like that. The Bulldogs, they were against the Rabbitohs last week, Friday night, I think, at ANZ. 28-10 they went down. They just looked out of sorts. They had no structure. They need to fix that. They need to build on that, and they need to do it quickly. They last played earlier this year back in round two. Wonderful game of football at Pepper Stadium. The Dogs won at 18-16. The Panthers started early. They clocked off a little bit, but it was the young Kerrod Holland on debut, kicking a goal from the sideline after the siren to pick up the win on that one. So I see the game being played at that sort of frenetic pace and that sort of pressure. It's finals football. It's elimination football. You can see everything this afternoon, of course, on Channel 9 Live and Fox Sports. They played each other, as I said, in the 2014 prelim final. But, you know, you really can't use that as a guide. But, you know, that's just a reference point for people that are betting and all that sort of stuff and looking at options. Good battle to watch will be Nathan Cleary taking on Moses Mbai. Halfbacks, young, talented. They've got a good kicking game. Obviously, Nathan Cleary can kick goals as well. So that's another, you know, arsenal, another cog in his arsenal. And they just lead their sides really well around the park. So that'll be a terrific battle. And then you've got Dallin Watini-Zelezniak, terrific young footballer, taking on Curtis Rona. Both of these fellas can score plenty of tries, and they just offer their sides plenty of options in attack. I like the Panthers this afternoon. I just think the Bulldogs haven't done enough to really warrant themselves a chance in this game. The Panthers are just playing really solid, really tight football, and great presence of mind from some of those players that I mentioned earlier, the young fellas in there. So I like the Panthers. Go 13-plus with the Panthers. And Matty Moylan, the very talented local junior from the St Mary's area, to pick up a first try this afternoon on the final game in week one of the NRL finals, boys.
Where will you be watching the game, Jono, from your poolside with more pies, or what are you doing?
Yep, I've got the Garlo's pies. They're stacked. They're ready to go. They're in the freezer. I'll throw them in the oven very soon. I'll put on a couple of cold ones and enjoy a terrific game of football this afternoon. Got to love finals football, boys. It's Christmas for adults.
It's a great time of year because you've got the footy finals. We've got the lovely warm weather. The racing's really hotting up with all the great horses back. It's just the best time of year, I reckon. Fantastic.
A smorgasbord of sport.
Indeed, Jono. Thank you, mate. And you'll be back with the BSB for Monday morning. We appreciate your time, Jono Farr. Well done. See you soon.
Thank you very much, Kev. And don't worry, Trent. We'll be back next week, mate. Go those Hawks.
Calm the Hawks.
All right. Thank you, Jono. That's enough. All right. Thank you very much. Go and have a pie. Put something in your mouth. 18 past 10. We'll have a look at the tennis in just a tick. We have Courtney Walsh from The Australian, who's been on location at Flushing Meadows with, well, I guess the women's final decided earlier today, and Angelique Kerber got her second Grand Slam. Exciting stuff for her, Trent.
She did, Kevin. Yeah, prevailing there against Carolina Pliskova in the women's singles final. A really quality one. Kerber was able to win the first set. Pliskova was able to rebound, take the second, but Kerber, perhaps somewhat in a bit of a letdown, was able to win with Pliskova having the chance to extend the third and final set, but lost her service game to Love. So Kerber there, her second Grand Slam victory of the year. She won as a big outsider against Serena Williams in the Australian Open, and now she's won the US Open and will officially, from tomorrow there, Kevin, be the women's number one player deposing Serena Williams. And then you've got Bean Muhuruza, number three. And just as it happened, that those three women, they had the four Grand Slam victories throughout this calendar year.
And she's the first German to be number one since Steffi Graf back in 97, and she's ended Serena Williams' streak of 186 weeks at the top. That's some sort of record for Serena.
Yes, and when you're in any company in relation to Steffi Graf, you know that you're going pretty well, because Steffi Graf, an absolute giant of the ladies' game in the late 80s into the early 90s, she was fantastic. So Angelique Kerber sort of come from not so much obscurity, Kevin, but at the start of the year, you wouldn't have thought. She had been pretty good in some of the lesser tournaments underneath the Grand Slams, like they have the Masters Series for the men, but she was, like I said, a big outsider when she beat Serena Williams there at Rod Laver Arena earlier in the year, and it didn't get over the line in the French Open. Made the final at Wimbledon, but Serena Williams was just too good on that occasion, but has managed to get the job done there at Flushing Meadows earlier this morning our time.
All righty, well, we're having trouble getting through to Courtney Walsh, so while we wait for that, talk us through the markets for the AFL semi-finals, Trent. What's coming up there?
Yeah, so with the AFL semi-final, so they'll begin Friday night at the MCG, where Hawthorn will be up against the Western Bulldogs. So Hawthorn have gone up the $1.45 favourites, and the Western Bulldogs all of a sudden resurgent after that big surprise victory over West Coast. They're $2.85 outsiders, so that's the first of the semi-finals, and whoever wins that will play GWS at Spotless Stadium, and it looks like it is set for Saturday night in that third week of the finals. And then Saturday night at the SCG, you'll have Sydney. They have been easy since we went up last night there, Kevin, but it's usually the way. Whoever wins an elimination final seems to have the early money, whether it be the AFL or the NRL. So Sydney are now $1.48 and Adelaide $2.70. They did what they were expected to do, giving North Melbourne a nice little touch up there last night. With regards to the premiership, well, there was going to be a reshuffle no matter what over the weekend, and that has certainly occurred, not so much with Friday night's result, but particularly yesterday there at ANZ Stadium, with the Giants just shocking the Suns there with their victory. So you have Geelong the favourites. They were $3.75 entering Thursday night, and that's when the Bulldogs beat West Coast. So Geelong $3.75 into $3 favourites. GWS $6 before the weekend, now $3.50 second favourites. Sydney were the favourites. They have eased from 3 to 5. Hawthorn have drifted from 5 to 6.50. Adelaide 11, and the Western Bulldogs were $67 before their win against West Coast. They're now $17. So just once again, Friday night, Hawthorn against the Western Bulldogs. The winner of that will play GWS at Spotless Stadium in a preliminary final. That'll be Saturday night week. And then the winner of Sydney against Adelaide, they will play Geelong Friday night week in their preliminary final at the MCG.
Very thorough. Well done there, Trent, on the AFL. 21 past 10. We now have Courtney Walsh with us from the Australian to chat about the US Open. Courtney, good morning. Thank you for your time again, mate.
No, absolute pleasure. Hope you're well.
Yeah, we're well. How are you after that women's final? We're just Trent and I were just waxing lyrical about Angelique Kerber. She's going to depose Serena at the top of the rankings. First German to do so since Steffi Graf. The future is unlimited for this lady by the looks of it.
Look, really, it's a remarkable story. If you flip back to the start of the year in Melbourne, in her first round match, she was down match point. Now, she had a history of being a very talented player who probably at major level was not quite fulfilling the promise. And look, another early exit there of that point of Donna Ori. Who knows if we'd be here today? But as it stands, you know, she won through Melbourne memorably. She made a final at Wimbledon, the final at the Rio Olympics. Played just a tremendous, gritty, tough, courageous, brilliant match today against Karolina Pliskova, who really has come of age this summer in America. And she's rightfully the number one player in the world now.
We're due for a change, aren't we, at the top? Serena's been there so long. It's nice to have some fresh blood in there to, I guess, liven up the women's. Tell us about her. Is she a nice young lady?
Very popular player, very certainly polite and well-spoken in press. I mean, she has had the, I suppose, the burden of being asked about Steffi Graf and what Steffi Graf has meant to her, you know, hundreds and hundreds of times, and she's always handled that with pretty good nature. Look, what's changed for her, she says, in the last year or so has been the fitness. She's worked a lot harder. She says she's just trained with far more intent, spent far more time in the gym and just feels fitter and able to outlast her rivals. And look, that was clearly evident today. Pliskova had basically headed her in the third. Now, Pliskova gave her a touch-up in Cincinnati only a couple of weeks ago. And, you know, when she seized control of the second set and was then up a break in the third, it looked, you know, in really stifling humid conditions, it looked like she might have the upper hand. But Kerber's fitness and just look, her will and her courage were really enough to sort of drag it back into it. And look, in the end, the last game was probably a little anticlimactic given the quality of the match beforehand. Just the mental toughness, so dating back to Melbourne and being able to survive was quite incredible.
And it was a tremendous final there this morning. Our time, Courtney, and Kerber winning there 6-3, 4-6, 6-4. And just before we were getting you on, Kevin and I were discussing, Kerber, the fact that now the first German woman since Steffi Graf to be at the top there of the game. And like I said, wasn't complete obscurity, but like I said, was able to, was a big outsider when she beat Serena Williams there at Rod Laver Arena. She got to the final at Wimbledon. Serena was too good on that occasion, but she's come through two Grand Slam victories for the season. Also, Pliskova, the fact that she was able to get past Serena Williams to make the final, and you touched on that as well, made the final in Cincinnati only about a month ago, and she's really stamped herself as an up-and-comer in the women's game.
Look, absolutely right, Frank. I mean, the astonishing thing, if you watch her play today and you watch her all tournament here, and even just in general tour matches, Pliskova, tall, fantastic serve like Williams, and able to, you know, both the power, the height, and the angle that she can get makes it a difficult serve to return. Brilliant back end, and look, what I really love today, and this is one that we see more of this. She really seized control of the match at times at the net. She missed the most regulation volley you could believe. But after that, she was very strong when coming forward, not afraid. She even served volleyed a couple of times. So I think that's a really good trend, and that's something that I hope we see more of. It's something that died out, particularly in the women's games. But I think that seeing someone so athletic and so powerful, we might see more of that. And she, bizarrely, had not made it past the third round of a major until this Grand Slam. But she's now one of, I think, four or five women to beat the two Williams sisters in the one event. Played a tremendous final today. She'll rise to number six in the world when the rankings are released tomorrow. Probably only a matter of time, the next couple of years, before we see her name as a champion, I think.
Yeah, I was just seeing on TV there those names you were suggesting there, Courtney. Kim Clijsters, Martina Hingis, Justine Henin and Pliskova are the four women to have beaten both Williams sisters in the Grand Slam. And she also has the record for the most aces on the World Tour this year, 447 aces. So you can find anything through stats. She's got a big serve on it.
Absolutely. And look, there's another little, quirky aside. Her twin sister, Christina, is playing a final tomorrow morning in China. I think the tournament reads about $125,000 tournament. So she might pocket about $8,000 for that. She's ranked about 122 in the world, Christina. Carolina, I think, pocketed something like $1.75 million for getting beaten today. Changing fortunes for the two twins.
Just a bit of disparity there between a Grand Slam tournament and perhaps one of those lesser ones there in China there, Courtney. But who knows, we might be seeing plenty of the Pliskovas, as we've seen for the Williams for many years. But we get to the men's final. It'll be 6 o'clock in the morning, our time, tomorrow. And we have Novak Djokovic, the $1.33 favourite, up against Stan Wawrinka at $3.50. Just for those in the set betting, Djokovic to win in straight sets is the favoured way at $2.90. And Djokovic, well, he's had, by most accounts, he's had a reasonably trouble-free tournament. He's had three matches where there's either been, well, one walkover and then there were two retirements. Stan Wawrinka, he's had to fight hard, as was the case in the semi-final a couple of mornings ago against Kei Nishikori. Djokovic has a great record against Stan, the man, Courtney, but we do remember the last time they played in the Grand Slam final and Wawrinka was able to get the prize over him in the French Open final last year.
Yeah, that's right. And that effectively cost Novak the Grand Slam. Admittedly, he was playing without the pressure for the final two tournaments at Wimbledon and the US Open in winning three of the four majors last year. Look, Stan is one bloke who is not afraid, I suppose, of the brilliance of Djokovic's defence. His backhand and the line, we all know, is like one of the most phenomenal shots in tennis, just so powerful. He has the ability to hit through the court against Djokovic to dictate play from right on the baseline as opposed to sort of being 1-2 metres behind him. So he can stretch Djokovic. I thought his semi-final win over Nishikori was very encouraging. He was able to certainly run away from him in the fourth set. So, look, he spent almost twice as much time on court. That's what Djokovic has. But I don't think that's a bad thing. I've been a little curious of Djokovic all tournament. And, look, I've been proven wrong to date, and I possibly will be proven wrong again. But I just think he's had a Stephen Bradbury-type run to the final. He hasn't really been tested. I mean, the Monfils match was enigmatic. Monfils went cat and mouse. He, I suppose, rope-a-dope, tried all manner of strange and unusual tactics to try and put him off. But it was not a particularly grueling match.
And before that, he just hasn't really been tested. So I like the fact that Stan's been playing tough, hard match. He got through, he was down to match point against James Ward in the third round. Oh, sorry, Dan Evans in the third round and was able to get out of that. And look, I don't mind him in this match. I think it's a really good matchup for him.
Okay, and for yourself, it was this time last week when he was down that match point as well. And if you're going to go with the surprise, in what number of sets do you reckon there, Courtney?
Oh, look, I would say, I think Stan in four. That would be, I know, as I said, you'll get good odds, but if Price is right, well, might be worth having a little look at.
$7.50 in four sets, there you go.
It's certainly juicy. So, look, as I said, Novak has been a very, very, very dominant player for 18, 24 months, but Stan is one of the few that has been able to really stretch him. And look, the remarkable thing is, for a bloke who broke through at the Aussie Open in 2014 against Rafa, he won the French last year. If he happened to win today, tomorrow, that would be three Grand Slam titles for Wawrinka, equal with Murray, and he'd be only one Grand Slam title away from a career Grand Slam. So talk about coming of age, in your late 20s, early 30s, that's really what Wawrinka has done, as did Kerber, two Grand Slam titles after 28, becoming an older person's sport.
Well, Courtney, we will leave it there. We appreciate your time. Where does the tour go next? I mean, the majors are over, aren't they, now for the year?
That's right. So look, the next stop from an Australian perspective, next stop is Sydney. We've got the Davis Cup there next weekend against Slovakia. So it'll be interesting to see whether he comes up after the hip flexor problem that forced him out of the US Open in the third round here. And that's a bit of a shame given the draw really opened up there after that. So that's next weekend. Look, then they'll go through Asia, effectively. So the next major tournament is the Shanghai Masters, and they'll finish off in the women in Singapore at the end of October, and the men in Paris, and then London sort of midway through November.
The circus keeps going on. All right. Courtney, thank you so much.
Thanks for on in.
We appreciate
it. Pleasure, guys. Good luck.
Appreciate your time. Thanks, mate. Courtney Walsh there from The Australian, with all the magic of Flushing Meadows and just the one game to go, the main one between Djokovic and Wawrinka. I'd love to see Big Stan knock over the Joker as well.
It promises to be a fascinating final. 6 o'clock tomorrow morning there, Kevin, and in amongst that as well, it's the opening weekend in the NFL, matches from 3 o'clock. So Courtney's going to have a busy time. He's had an enjoyable 2 weeks, I'd imagine, there at Flushing Meadows, and that will continue with that final, intertwined with all the NFL action there happening tomorrow morning our time. But once again, a fantastic time on Tab Talk this morning.
Yeah, it was great. Great stuff. Thank you, Trent. Always a pleasure, and we'll speak to you again soon.
Cheers, Kevin.